I want to start a series this morning that will take us into next year. And actually, I want, if you're taking notes, and I do not have the scripture, we're having some technical difficulties with some of this stuff, and we're trying to work it out. And occasionally, I like to make y'all open your Bibles and find it anyway. So I'm not going to have any of the stuff on the screen. But today, if you're taking notes, we're going to entitle this message, How We Should Walk. So how we should walk. And if you look at walk, it's a very simple word, W-A-L-K. Probably everybody in here can spell it. And I want you to just see that sort of as an acrostic. The first thing we need to do is, for the W, we walk with God. It's with. We walk with Him. And the A is for agreement. We agree with His Son. We come into agreement with His plan. We come into agreement with what He would have done. And the L, I think we should walk in the light as He is in the light. And then with the K, we should walk in the knowledge of who Christ is, and in the truth of His Word. So there's several facets to this. So as we learn how to walk with God and we learn how to walk in agreement with His precepts, with His principles, as we walk in the light, as we walk in the knowledge of who Christ is and the truth of His Word, that's going to be pretty good standing for another year. And so I want us to begin this in prayer. And then we'll be turning in various scriptures in the Bible. So some of these I will quote to you, and some of these we will look at and turn to. So let's just pray together. Father, we love You and thank You for the opportunity to be able to come and break open Your Word. We thank You that You share Your Word with us. And while there are still wonderful mysteries that I don't know that I'll ever fully comprehend, honestly, Your Word is actually easy to understand. And so we pray that You will reveal to us truth. But as much as anything, I pray that we will walk in the truth that You have already revealed, and that You will continue to reveal Your truth as we walk with You. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we bind the enemy from trying to steal the Word. We ask that there be a clarity of thought and that our hearts are opened, and beyond what we can comprehend, that You will sow into our spirit the living, breathing Word of God, that it might be able to go into our hearts, that it might be able to take root in our lives, and it might be able to be manifested in how we live. So we thank You for that. We lay hold of that by faith and receive Your blessing out of Your Word right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's always been God's purpose for us to walk with Him. You can see that at the very beginning, even after the fall. You can find, if you will turn and look in Genesis 3, you can find that God, it's always been God's design to walk with His creation. It's always been His desire to have fellowship with us. And that's something that really we see manifested with the Christmas season, that he wanted so much for us to be able to identify with Him that He became human so that we could better identify with Him. Now, He has no trouble identifying with us. He created us. He has no trouble understanding us. He wanted us to know Him so well that He became literally one of us. And He walked among us, and He fellowshipped with us, and still does. But in the very beginning, we can see, and I won't go over the entire story, but after Adam and Eve had fallen, the Lord still did what He had always done. In chapter 3 of Genesis, beginning in verse 8, just looking at a couple of verses there. After they had fallen, they sowed the fig leaves together, and a man and his wife, in Genesis 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So He was walking. Where His creation is. He was walking with Adam. He was walking with Eve. And He was there walking. But because of the fall, because of the sin, because of what separates us from Him, it's never been God's desire, but it's a scriptural fact. And Isaiah will in Isaiah 58, He declares it plainly that our sin separates us from Him. It's not that He wants to be separate from us. It's that our sin separates us from Him. We hide our faces. And just what they did is what we frequently do. When they heard God walking, as He always had, as was His desire to fellowship and to reach out and to be there with them, they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. And we've been doing it ever since, thinking we can hide from God. How are you going to hide from God? And so, but still, in our humanity and in our foolishness, we attempt to do that. And then the Lord called out to Adam. And He said, "Where are you?" Some of the most haunting words in Scripture to me. Those three little words, "Where are you?" King James said it much more poetically, but, you know, "Adam, where art thou?" You know, and I think of that. Now, you know good and well that God knew where Adam was. But when He asks us questions, it's not so that we will tell Him. It's so that we can be confronted with the truth of our situation. And so what He does, when He says those simple words, "Where are you?" Adam had to be confronted with the fact that he is hiding from his Creator. That he is trying to get away from Him. That he's trying to distance himself from Him. The shame and the problem and the fig leaves don't work. And, you know, he saw his nakedness and he wanted to cover himself. But God calls out, "Where are you?" And then one of the most telling passages in Scripture at the very beginning, Adam made this statement that has haunted mankind ever since. He said, "I was afraid. I heard you in the garden," he said. In other words, I sensed your presence. "But I was afraid. Because I was naked, so I hid." We've been trying to hide ever since. And what I want us to understand, and what I want us to see, and this is graphic, but Christ was naked on the cross. He was standing there, exposed, fully exposed, for all of the world to see. And He did that so that we could be covered. He did that so that our shame could be dealt with. He did that so that our sin could be forgiven. And it's hard. I still shudder sometimes when I think of some of the foolish things I have done. There are times when I'll shudder and the devil will try to whisper in my ear and I'll tell him to be gone. Just like Christ told him when he tried to whisper to Jesus, I'll tell him to be gone. Because Christ has taken our shame. He's taken our sin. There's nothing that we've done that he's not covered. The blood of Jesus is fully capable of ministering to everything that's ever happened to any one of us of which we are ashamed and should be ashamed. But I'm not going to let the devil continue to condemn me because Christ has set me free. There's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ and who walk according to the Spirit. And so we need to understand that. So as we look at how we should walk, as we look at how we're able to see this, we need to understand that it's always been God's desire to walk with us and for us to walk with Him. And I guess probably one of the most important points of this entire series, one of the most important points of this message, if we can really grab hold of that, how much He just wants us, how much He desires to be with us, how we can, in fact, come into His presence and walk with Him, it'll revolutionize every one of our hearts. It'll revolutionize our daily existence if we can just reach Him and touch Him and let Him minister to us and let us be led by His Spirit, as we're going to look at in some of these passages. But one of the things that I want us to understand clearly is that it's always been His intention that we walk together. Even in the law. I mean, I'm telling you, one of the dullest books, two of the dullest books in Scripture to me. I have to really force myself to read them, and I have to really stay before the Lord to be able to grasp it. And one of the things that when I read the law, it makes me so thankful for God's grace. But even in the law, even in the book of Leviticus, I want you to see, and I want you to turn there. Go to Leviticus 26. And let's just pull out a couple of verses. We're going to pull out verses 11 and 12. So we're in Leviticus 26. I'll give you a minute to find it. And I want you to see God's desire. Now, he prefaced this promise, and there's some wonderful promises right here in the law. I mean, how much more can we find? God is now in us. He's now living in every believer. And so the new covenant is so much grander and so much more complete because he fulfilled the law. He didn't abolish it. He fulfilled it. But this has been God's desire for all of humanity all of the time. And it's prefaced with verse 3. He said, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, that's the preface. Then I'm going to give you all of these promises. And I want you to, I've lifted just a couple. There's some great promises here. In your time, you can go back and read it. But I want us to look at two of these verses, beginning in verse 11. He said, I will put my dwelling place among you. I will put my dwelling place among you. Now, for the new covenant, for us, for the believers, he is residing in our heart. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's what sets us apart. It's the fact not that my spirit was dead, it was dead to God. Now it's been made alive to God, where he can fellowship with me, where we can come into his presence, and he comes to us. But he said, I will put my dwelling place among you. I will not abhor you. He doesn't hate us. He said, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. So as we look back, even with haunting clarity, at the fall, and understand our own fallen nature, and understand our own sinful past, and understand even the fact that we yet are still prone to sin, we got to understand he wants to be with us, and we need to be in his presence just as he desires. That's his will for us. And he wants to come and dwell among us. And he wants to come and dwell in us. And then I'm reminded of Micah's prophetic word. I'll quote it for you. You can turn if you'd like, but I'll be off of it in a minute. Micah 6:8, King James Version says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. He's shown you what's good. Micah, he's boiling it down. He's given us sort of a summary. And he's a prophet, a contemporary of Isaiah, and saw a revelation of what God wants to do with us. He said, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? In other words, how should we walk? How does he tell us to do it? And y'all remember the passage. He said, do justly. Now, that ain't rocket science, folks. Every person in this room, we were born with a sense of justice. Now, it's been somewhat skewed. We've got to superimpose. We've got to let the Spirit of God come into us and show us what really is right. But every one of us have a clear sense of what's right and what's wrong. I remember when I was in elementary school, Redwine David was the principal at Whiteville Elementary School when I was there. And he would always, he'd come in and give his speech. But I still remember, he'd hold up his right hand and he said, we all know what we need to do that's right. And we all know what we need to do not to do that is wrong. And he'd try to tell us young people, and I don't know, Ted, you grinning, you remember, do you remember that speech? Yeah. But we all know We all understand, you know, there's eternity in the heart of man. I believe all of us have a sense of eternity. We have a sense of what's right, a sense of what's wrong. Now, it can be skewed and our conscience can be seared. I understand that. But we just need to do what's right. He said, just do justly. And love mercy. Boy, I'm so glad he put that in there because justice is hard. If I got what I deserved, I would be in hell. I want you to understand that. And justice can be hard. It may be true, but it's brutal. He said that superimposed against the justice of God, and the justice of God was met at Calvary. That's what we've got to understand. That's why he became a human. Eric and I were talking about that coming over. But, you know, it's just amazing to me. That plan of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus is such a wonderful plan. And the devil certainly didn't understand it. All he saw when he saw sin on Christ was, now I can kill him. He's a human, I can kill him. And he is human. Fully human. And yet fully divine. And the only human that's ever been sinless. And so death had no right to hold him. Though death could kill him and he died, I'm telling you, stayed in the grave 3 days, and that helped clear up any Jewish myth that the spirit would hang around for about 3 days, and I guess they'd seen some folks that they thought were dead and they came back up and they figured they'd be alive. But the Jews believed that you know, after 3 days, you really are gone. So after 3 days, God reached down. Because justice had been met and mercy was available now to us. So we've got to do justly and love mercy. There's some times when, yes, you're guilty, and yes, you are just as guilty as you can be, but I'm going to forgive you because, not because you deserve it, but because I want to be released from the bitterness that's involved in the unforgiveness that will captivate my heart. Do you hear me? And so we need to not just do right, but we need to love mercy. I'm telling you, I don't know anybody that I want to go to hell. Nobody. I would to God that everyone that has, I don't care how heinous, how horrible it's been, I don't care, I would to God that they would truly repent, receive Christ, and be born again. I want none to perish. And that's consistent with the heart of our God, because he wants none to perish because he made salvation available to everyone, but he will not override our will. He will not. And so Micah said that we should do justly and that we should love mercy. And who remembers the rest of that verse? What? Exactly. Walk humbly with God. That's what he wants us to do. He said, this is what I want. He said, I want you to live right. And see, the reason he wants us to live right is because sin brings death. It always does. It always has. They're so intimately intertwined. If you sin, that's why we can't have a callous attitude towards sin. We can't say, oh, I'll ask forgiveness later. None of that stuff. Because it death works through sin. Sin would have never entered the earth, in the world, death would have never entered apart from sin. And we've got to understand that. And so we can't play with it. So he wants us to do right, but he sure wants us to love mercy because he's a merciful God. He wants us to love mercy because if we got what we deserve, all of us would go to hell. All of us. You say, well, boy, that's a damn view of humanity. No, it's not. It's a true view of humanity. And what I want to tell you is that the bright view of humanity is through the Savior. He's the one that can change our hearts. He's the one that can set us free. He's the one that can give us a peace that passes understanding. He's the one that can lift. See, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Is that not good news, man? Thrills my heart. He's lifted it. He's lifted it. And we need to walk in it. Keep playing with sin, we're going to keep getting the same results. But he said, walk with him. See, that's the key. See, listen, I made a serious profession of faith December the 16th of 1974, had a radical encounter with the Lord Jesus. He filled me with his spirit. One of the most powerful things. It was amazing. I'm telling you, it was amazing. But I want you to understand something. I was saved then, but I'm still walking with him. And I need him to walk with me because I can mess up and I can get offline. And if I will walk with him, see, the definition, I mean, look at what the walking means. If you walk with somebody, for one thing, you ain't in a particular hurry. He didn't say try to outrun them. And boy, with this old slow fat boy, that's good. I'm glad. I'm glad because if y'all, I can run and it takes me a while to get there. But see, walking, we can walk. That means I've got time for him. Have you got time for it? I mean, really, what happens? Is it like, you know, it's like the horns blowing when you wake up and the alarm clock goes off and you lay in there and the next thing you know, I got to go, got to run, got to get this done, got to do this. Oh, my word, I'm behind. I forgot this. And the next thing you know, you fall into bed exhausted and saying, oh, Lord, please forgive me because I didn't spend a bit of time with you today. And y'all know from my description of that I know how that feels. And we need to spend some time with him. We need to walk with him. When you go for a walk with somebody, it just takes some time. It's amazing what you can get done. It's amazing what you can find out. And somehow, there's just a closeness that begins to develop. It's hard to explain, but you just walk with him. And you walk in humility. See, I understand I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and that took me a lot of years to figure that out because I like Willard. And I figured Willard was pretty sharp. But I'm not. And so, but he is. And so, see, if I can hang out with him, fellowship with him, see his attributes, walk with him, it makes a difference, and that keeps me going because, listen, for us to walk with him, who's the beneficiary of the relationship? He's the Prince of Peace. I need peace. Don't you need peace? So if I walk with him, I'm with the Prince of Peace. He is love. God is love. Scripture tells us that plainly. We walk with him. We're walking in love. You walk with he's powerful, omnipotent. He's got everything we need. If we walk with him, we are the beneficiary of the relationship. He loves you. He doesn't need us. I've got to have him. And so as we walk with him, just a simple walk. You just walk with God. You just take the time to understand. What was it going to, and I'm not talking about getting religious about, oh, checking off the list. You know, I've done that too. I got to get in my prayer time, you know, so I go and, you know, fight to stay awake and that sort of thing. It's not what I'm talking about. Or I'm going to read the Word like I told you. Sometimes I struggle in the Old Testament trying to figure out what in the world are they talking about. And, you know, the wheel within a wheel and the horses and the angels and all of that stuff. Now I can get insight into it. I can understand lots of it, most of it actually, but I'm telling you what, some of the sleepiest time I've ever had is trying to plod through some of the law. And I'm just being honest, and it's still the Word of God, and I understand that, and I'm going to study it, and I've read the Bible through a bunch of times. And my goal for this coming year is to read it through another time or two. The entire book, all of it, because I want to understand it. But what I want us to, what I'm trying to say is, we just need to walk with him. We need to figure out what does it look like for us to spend time with God. It's obvious he's in the Word. It's obvious he's in prayer. It's obvious he's in fellowship. I'll see him in here in ways that I don't see him in my prayer closet. I do. I see God manifested when we gather together in ways that I do not see him when I'm in my prayer closet. But I'll tell you another thing. I see him manifested in my prayer closet in ways that I never see him manifested in here. And I sense his presence. And so what I'm saying is, I need both. I need to spend time with him alone. I need to have a relationship with him where he knows my name, I know his name, I know how to get a hold of him, he knows how to get a hold of me. But we need each other also. And so I just need all the God I can get. So that's why I come on Sunday morning. That's why I come on Wednesday night. That's why I come on Sunday night. I don't come because you pay me. I come because I want to be with you. I come because I want his presence. He shows up in a different way when we gather together. He said it himself. He said, if I can just get two or three of you together to agree on something, he said, I'll show up and give it to you. So as we come into that agreement, it's powerful. It's powerful. So the first thing I want us to understand about a relationship is that he wants us first and foremost to simply walk with him. And so we've got the W day. Next week, we're going to take up the A and figure out what he's got for us to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to stand and share your word. And I thank you for the revelation of who you are. And I pray in the name of Jesus that every single one of us, every person under the sound of my voice and any who hear this, either online or through a some sort of message, that we will take 2020, we'll close out 2019 and take 2020, and that we determine in our hearts that we're going to learn how to walk with you and that we're going to simply spend time in your presence. Show us how to walk the walk. Let our walkie be louder than our talkie. Help us to be able to be led by your Spirit. Help us to be able to receive your word. Help us to be able to know how much you love us. Help us to be able to please you and not try to serve you, but to just walk with you. No kind of legalism involved in that relationship, Lord, though we certainly understand that you want us to follow your decrees. So give us a heart of a disciple. Give us the heart of one who will seek your face, because, Lord, you've told us that if we seek you, if we search for you, that you will be found of us. And that you have mercy on us. So in the name of Jesus, I pray that as we close out this year and as we enter into a new year, Lord, we mark time. I don't know that you do. But help us to just simply have our hearts dedicated that our relationship with you is going to be paramount, that we're going to hear your voice, that we're going to follow you, and that we're just going to be where you are. We're going to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare our hearts for the invitation, what's our invitational hymn? 282. If anything, I want you to hear me, please. If anything is interfering with, now I know the devil's trying to. I can promise you that. But if there's anything that's interfering with your walk with the Lord, why don't you come up here? I'll be glad to pray with you, or you can just take it to the Lord and leave it right here. Just leave it here. Anything that's trying to interfere with your walk with Him, anything keeping you from walking with God, let's lay it down and not pick it back up and receive God's grace to walk free in this coming year. So stand. The altar's open. If you need prayer, I'll gladly pray with you. But you can bypass me and come straight to Him. There's something about laying it down up here. So the altar's open.